This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Well, he's not quite a coffee asshole, but he's still an asshole about coffee.
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
This is the Journey for Jabba podcast, a show about coffee for people who enjoy coffee and like listening to stories about people, places, and things involving coffee.
Seriously, only an asshole would make it this complicated.
It's the Journey for Jabba podcast.
You want some coffee?
Yeah, make it a fresh pot.
A Brenton on Tour podcast show.
Fresh pot!
About what else? Coffee.
Coffee is the number one drink in the world. Everybody drinks it. Even little kids in Mexico drink coffee.
Well, I'm not a little kid in Mexico, okay?
Here's BD.
That, my friends, is Veronica Galova.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good.
She's the head of marketing at Rost, which is an amazing company that I discovered on my trip to Oslo this past spring while I was visiting Tim Wendelboe, the roastery.
Yeah, it was so lovely of you to just stop by.
It was convenient because your room was attached to the place. And while I was doing samplings with Anders and learning how to cup and do all the things that that professional coffee people do, not amateurs like me, you guys were in this next room surrounded by gadgets, and it just looked like this little, like, amazing lab that was happening. And Anders told me, oh, you got to go next door and meet these guys. And here we are. We're sitting at another coffee shop in Oslo, and I'm about to interview you about your world and your life. So randomly, it happened. Tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah. Hello, coffee friends. Where to start about me? Well, let's start maybe from the beginning, then from the end. At the beginning, I was just a barista at the Starbucks in Prague, and that was just a part-time job while I was studying at the university, where I moved from Slovakia to Prague just to study, you know, technical university. I was more of the tech girl doing graphic design and studying marketing and HR, such a weird combination. But back then I didn't know what career I want to have. And as a part-time barista at Starbucks, that was the career that I kind of found. I found myself so happy to be surrounded with coffee and customers and just talking about coffee. I think
were,
you know
you
the feeling, right?
Were you a coffee fan? Like, was it like, I got to go work at Starbucks to learn about coffee?
No.
But you just needed a part-time job. That's how it started.
I was drinking giant latte with the caramel before.
Giant lattes with the caramel. All right.
Yeah, sure. That I was bringing to university during the lessons. And that's how I started. I didn't have any particular relationship to coffee. It was just I needed money as any student in Prague. And after working 2-3 years at Starbucks, I fell in love with coffee so much, but I knew that there is so much more to it, and I needed to find out what is the good cup of coffee. Because at Starbucks, you learn a lot about how to run the coffee shop, how to be a good barista, how to be a good manager, all the knowledge that you need to run the coffee shop and to fall in love for the coffee. But as I understood that there is much more to coffee than what I was served at Starbucks, no offense, still, but I knew that I wanted to become one of those that I was always watching on the stages that competing at the barista competitions, and I didn't really know, like, what's the difference?
Do they, you mentioned about becoming a good barista, would you consider, and this is just dumbing it down, would you consider Starbucks baristas good baristas, or are they following the model, like the way you would at McDonald's, the way you would at something? Like, I mean, what makes a special barista? Because we'll get into your journey, because you're an award-winning barista, but what would you define as a good barista? Is that a Starbucks barista? Do you owe them a little bit? Like, what, or do you like, nah, I know what a good barista is now.
I wish there would be some balance between Starbucks barista and specialty coffee barista. And that's because Starbucks baristas have that kind of insane positivity that when you enter the coffee shop, everyone is smiling at you, which is natural. But baristas at Starbucks are really enjoying their job. It's, I don't know, I just fell in love with that customer service that we had there. And then when you go to specialty coffee shops, sometimes you have people behind the bar too much focus on the preparation of the coffee. So they're like heads down on the brew because they're so much in love with the coffee that they love more coffee than the customers. So something in between would be, I think, for me, the best, you know, to get a good customer service and coffee that I rather forgive a bad cup of coffee than a bad customer service.
Right. Well, coffee culture is relatively new around the world. I mean, it's been 30 episodes since I've done coffee. And, I did music and travel and life. Yeah. And in my journey since then, obviously, still trying to find the best coffee in the world, still trying to find the best baristas. It hasn't changed much in 25 or 30 weeks. I mean, I'm just saying the world doesn't move that fast, but... But the discussions are still the same, which is sustainability, and which is like you're paying the proper price for a bean. And Starbucks is taking a lot of flack for their lack of, you know, how much they pay for per bean. And there's just so many things about the business that I guess you would learn as you come in, as learning to become a barista. And then you wanted, as you said, you wanted to study more on it. You wanted to learn more about the people that were on stage and competing. Starbucks would have given you a base of knowledge, right? But then you, from there, say, oh, I need to learn more. And what was the trigger for you where you was like, I'm just not getting enough. I'm just not getting enough knowledge from this. I need to dive in. And who's going to teach me how to do that?
Yeah, that was back in 2013. And I went in Prague into one of the specialty coffee shop. And I've been served the coffee with the words from the barista. Here's your Ethiopia, your Gachev washed processed coffee. Enjoy the floral notes. And I was like, what just happened?
It wasn't a caramel macchiato.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, you know, something that, requires a... You know, where you're not really tasting the bean anymore.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, that was the... It was just amazing. It was like performance. And I was like, wow, I want to know what's behind that. So I started to search more and I figured out that within Prague, we have a World Barista Champion. I'm not sure which year. I mean, World Barista Champion is also Tim Vandelbo. That's 2004. And there is another champion. His name is William Davis. And he lives with his wife in Prague. And I met him, and he took me for one of his courses to teach me more about specialty coffee. And that was the starting point for me to get that wow moment into the cup. And... back then, in 2014, I tried to go for the first championship that was in the category where you mix coffee and alcohol. And I still didn't know how to even set the grinder for espresso. But I was on the I was on the stage of national championship in Czech Republic, and I happened to win it. I had no idea how. Till today, I mean... I decided to brew the coffee, then making espresso, because you can choose what you want to mix with alcohol. And I went for the safe run to make the filter coffee. And I won.
And you won.
Yeah.
And that changed it all for you at that point, right?
I was like, I still don't know anything, but here we are. Let's do more. So it was amazing. Yeah. And then I got the job at a specialty coffee roastery in Prague. I've been there for 2 years. I tried to learn as much as possible. I went for another championship, barista championship that I won in Slovakia. And I still felt like I don't have enough time for preparation for the world stage, because that's a lot of money, a lot of time. And yeah, I needed a space. So I decided to quit all the jobs. Yeah. I quit the job.
Wow.
I quit the school.
Quit the school.
Yeah. I haven't finished my master's.
Still going for it.
No. It's like,
you
I don't.
You have a master's in coffee now.
Yeah, exactly. And back then, I opened my own barista school in Czech Republic that I ran for. I ran it for almost 3 years before I moved here to Norway.
You had enough barista knowledge at that point where you felt comfortable properly.
Yeah, because I was
people.
Insane. I had to learn as much as possible and as quick as possible. So I was just running for all the courses myself to learn as much as possible, and traveling all around the countries and sharing the knowledge with the people in the industry, and then coming back to share it with others. So yeah, then another 3 years I went for the Brewers Cup Championship in Slovakia, and I won all 3 years, and finally I made it for the world, which I enjoyed so much, and now we are in Norway.
You go from Slovakia to the Czech Republic to Norway.
Yeah.
It's quite a journey, and the feeling of winning that first championship must have been odd, and then the second one, and then the third one, you start kind of getting a feeling amongst yourself like maybe you know what you're doing now. Like, you know, you keep winning, so people are starting to ask you, like, you know, more questions and more things. It had to be a great feeling to start winning, especially it opens up all these doors. You got to open up the barista school. You started teaching people about that. Does it? Is there a ceiling to this? There's never a ceiling, so it just keeps. You just keep competing. You just keep trying to get better at it.
I stopped competing actually.
You stopped competing, yeah.
I stopped competing. Last time I competed, it was a year ago. It was in Brazil. It was the World Championship, and 3 times in a row on the world stage, I happened to be like 9th, 10th, and it was not improving more than I wanted to. And I realized that actually maybe that's the end point for me. It's okay. I don't have to win this competition, because I just wanted to do it to get better and inspire others that it's possible to do it even though you don't know how to make espresso. So yeah,
what's the fine line between finishing 10th and first as a barista? Like, what is it that you can, you know, and break it down just simply from a lot of people. North America, especially, as coffee culture is new there, baristas are still like, oh, it's a barista, you know, because people do drive-in coffee and they do McDonald's and Tim Hortons and Dunkin' Donuts and all these things that are common. Starbucks even, you know, are very common, and it's very quick and grab and go. There's not a lot of patience for waiting 10 minutes for a coffee or the art. So what can you define as, like, the difference between 9th and 1st, you know, as a barista? Because there has to be some kind of form, yeah? Like, what? Tell me
between 9th and 1st place is actually only how you wake up that morning.
Okay.
Like, literally. Because there, let's say in barista category, you have 3 rounds where you have preliminary, then it's the semifinals, then it is the finals, and you do the routine all over again. So you can be first in the first round, and then if you get to the finals, you can be last, so 6th. It's just how you wake up that day and make the coffee for the judges and how they will perceive you, you know, that. How it's going to look like the whole experience with that barista. It's not just about the coffee.
Or it's not even about, I mean, you could put that on a shirt. You could put that on a meme. You see them every day, but it's like the difference between 9th and 1st is how you wake up in the morning.
Yeah. Well, basically, right? It is the same. Like, you go to coffee shop, you yourself, let's say here in Oslo, you enter the coffee shop and you wish to get the good coffee, but you don't know what kind of barista is behind the bar. Does the barista have a bad day or good day?
Hungover.
If he has or she has a good day, then you're going to have a good day because it's contagious. And with a cup of coffee, oh my God, that's like perfect match.
Sure.
But yeah, so that's that.
Hi, I'm Mercedes Nickel, four-time Winter Olympian and host of Dropping In, a podcast with Mercedes. This is a podcast where I interview a bunch of different people. I get the good, the bad, and the ugly, as well as I share my stories along the way. Now you can drop in at droppingin.com or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. I'll see you soon.
Come on a journey like no other, where you will discover many rogues that will lead you to a happier, healthier, and more stress-free life. And the beauty is, you don't need any vacation time for this adventure. The journey will come to you. Join Avery Rich on your very own journey into yoga. Along the way, she will demystify yoga poses and guide you into a yoga posture or short sequence, all in less than 15 minutes. You have nothing to lose but stress. The Journey into Yoga podcast. It's not for people who like yoga. It's for people who don't like yoga. Follow or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at averyrich.com.
Would you say that you had more good days than bad? Obviously, you won a few times. Would you say as a barista, you just kind of were like...
The best days. Oh my God, I miss it. I miss to be behind the bar, but at the same time... I mean, you have to make money to, you know, if it would be, if you could make the salary that you make as a head of marketing, then hell yeah, I'm there.
So head of marketing now for Roast, which is a very cool machine that I discovered yesterday at the Tim Wendebo Roastery, which was amazing. It's a professional sample roaster machine, So a lot of people are, there are people that roast at home, you know, that are learning to roast at home. It looks to me, from what I sampled and what we did, it's the perfect machine for that. I mean, 6 minutes and you you've roasted, you've gone from green to roast, and then obviously you have to let it sit for at least 24 hours and all the rest of it. But it's a really cool machine. What brought you to Roast? Did they find you, or did you apply to them to kind of be their marketing person? How did that come about? Because it's a very interesting
When I product. Came to Norway, it was because I got a job at a green coffee import company. And I spent there 1.5 years. And for the company reasons that the company was struggling, the whole team kind of... decided to go own way. I decided also to find my own way, how to be in Oslo and in the coffee industry. And at that time, guys were at Roast, were looking for someone for marketing. And I'm like, why not to actually first time in my whole life use what I was studying, what I knew how to do, and apply it in within the career that I built in the coffee industry. So there was a perfect mix and match. And that's how I became one of the Roast heroes, the only woman in the team. Well, it's fun. I'm enjoying it.
Right. How long have you been there for?
It's May now.
Yeah.
So 5 months only.
Very cool. And it's if you guys get a chance online to check it out, we'll get into where people can, go and check out the product. It's not, we're going to say, what did you refer to it as? If you like expensive gadgets.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Professional and expensive one.
Yes, professional. It's not... going to be easy on your bank account, but if you're would you say it's more for the coffee roaster than it is for the person at home, or it works for both? I certainly would love to have one at home, but I'm not.
We have different types of clients. We have the roasters, we have also home roasters, seriously, we have also people from research, and even not coffee roasters, but let's say beer companies that are roasting also their products on it, not the coffee. And it's actually quite funny to see how people can fall in love with the coffee and get the gadgets they need to get the best out of the coffee or their days or their routines. So I would not even say that Rus is expensive gadget, but it is a smart digital gadget of today.
I thought it was very cool. I mean, yeah. I think it could complement anything. So obviously you're enjoying your time there. You're traveling a bit. We had a discussion earlier about your friends at European Coffee Trip. I follow them around the world. Like when I'm traveling in Europe, European Coffee Trip usually guides the way as far as it's the best coffee you can find in Europe. In America, it's Sprudge. And then you know, there's just people that are compiling things like that. You've known those guys for a while in the Rise. You've also got your own, I mean, I know you're doing videos for Roast, but you also have your own sort of blog on Instagram as like My Dear Coffee personal blog. I know you're doing a lot of really cool videos. Are you doing that for you? Or are you doing that for your own, like teaching people? Or are you just doing it out of your love for coffee, or what's how did that come about? Because your videos are pretty cool.
Thank you. I needed to express myself in the coffee since I started to work at the Roast and creating a lot of content for the sample roasting machine. I realized that I still carry the knowledge about the coffee that I gained within my career, and I have a lot of friends that wish to know how to make the best out of coffee every day, the simple, the easy way. And that's how I came up with the idea. So once I'm brave to make the video for Roast, why not to make also videos for my followers or my friends, my family? And that's how I started. Just simple videos made with iPhone. And here we are. It is there's a bigger plan with that. There will be website, My Dear Coffee, and also online courses that I'm working on. So basically this Insta stories or Instagram TV is the prep for that.
Yeah. Basically, mission is to teach people how to make amazing coffee, or can you actually teach them? Can you teach people how to become a barista online like that, or is it very hands-on?
I think you can give all the information or the knowledge that they need for the at the beginning to start with. Like I needed when I quit the Starbucks and I wanted to become a barista. I needed that kind of pack of information. It's not just to watch some videos on YouTube like here and there, but to have it as a whole pack. So yes, you can do that. But at the same time, also I want people to see that you can make a really good cup of coffee the easy and simple way, because we as baristas, as professionals, we tend to make it very complicated and difficult for people to understand how to make a good coffee, because we use all kinds of gadgets around, and I don't know, if you take a look, there is some kind of smart scale, smart kettle, everything looks so geeky. But at the same time, at home, when we make coffee for ourselves in the morning, it's very simple, and you still get the good coffee. So why not to share that, you know?
Keeping it simple is where it's at. I wrote an article back on the first coffee cast, the first 10 episodes, which started this whole coffee journey. Was I wrote an article called "Which Coffee Asshole Are You?"
I don't want people to be like that. I mean, to be
but
coffee
assholes.
We all
are in some way. And the only reason I touch on that is the article itself touches on whether you only drink Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts and refuse to try, you know, Tim Wendell Bow or any of these places around, because they just it just takes too long. It just I'm in a rush. Or you're the asshole barista that has no time for anyone that doesn't know anything about coffee. And my thing is always that people should be educated if they're going to drink a coffee. Like if you go to a barista and say, well, what is a cappuccino? And then they go, like that's you. I mean, that's I've seen that. I've been a part
typical.
Of it because I only added coffee 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So I had to go through like, what's an Americano? And they're like,
you
don't know what an
Americano
is? I'm like, no, I don't know what an Americano is. You got to teach me. So my question to you, which coffee asshole are you?
Well, I might disappoint you, because people know me the way that I'm okay to go when I'm traveling. I'm okay to go to Starbucks and order a brewed coffee, the Blonde Roast, that's the lightest one. But I will go there and I will enjoy that cup.
Of course.
Because I will get the nice customer service and I know what to expect from that cup. I'm not going to be an asshole. just because, oh, that's not the rose that I like. And yeah, so I don't have a problem with that. Even now, recently when I was in Canada, I had to try Double Double, and I was like, okay, that doesn't taste like coffee, but it's not bad.
Exactly, you know? It doesn't taste like coffee. But it's funny, it's, you know, Double Double is as Canadian as it gets.
Yeah, okay? Yeah,
it's as
exactly.
Canadian. I know, you know, being from Canada, it was a Double Double or regular.
Yeah.
That's what people would order. But anyway, so that was a funny bit to ask people in the world, because there's all sorts, and it can be something like not, you know, being so stubborn in your taste that you refuse to move off it, or just not wanting to try new things.
Yeah.
So, coffee assholes, they exist everywhere. You can be an asshole for not even drinking coffee. I was an asshole forever. I only added it for 2 years ago, so it was fun.
Wow.
It was fun to do. It was fun to do. So it's been a real journey for me to kind of learn about it and discover coffee people from around the world, because it's really something. It really brings people together, like something I've never seen before. Like the way it, you know, you can have interviews with people or talk to people at a show that I do or something. And, oh, you went to that coffee place, or you went to here? Like, you know, we discovered that we both, like, I follow European Coffee Trip, but they're your friends. We didn't know that coming into this.
We are one big coffee community,
right?
All around the world. People know people in the coffee industry.
I go to Tim, you know, Tim Wendelboe comes on the podcast. They, you know, I go to the roastery, but we have all these other conversations, and then you guys are next door. It's just, it's a funny, funny gag the way it was. So it always makes me laugh. So, so now you're in Oslo.
Yeah.
And what do you think of Oslo?
Well, I don't live in Oslo. I live outside.
Just outside, yeah.
Yeah, just like 15 minutes outside, just because I wanted to be closer to fjords and to nature. But I fell in love with this place so much that I would not even leave the country, even if I would have to quit my career in coffee.
You would stay here.
I would stay here. It's
wow,
so beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it is a bit like Canada. A lot of mountains.
Scandinavia
and
is a lot like Canada, anyways.
Yeah.
You know, the mountains, the people.
Yeah.
It feels like home when I'm away from home, for sure.
Yeah.
You know. So.
When you're back, you should definitely go somewhere up north to Senja and Lofoten. That's number one on everyone's bucket list.
Is it?
Rarely. So beautiful.
This is the odd chance that I've had a couple of days off here. Normally, I'm in for a day and out for a day or whatever. So.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of going from there. So. All right, so what's next for you? Obviously, you're going to develop out the website. Roast is doing really, really well. Are you finding it's rising like crazy right now? Are you guys having a hard time keeping up to the demand, or is it just got a nice organic build to it?
I can say that we are selling faster than we are producing, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
I wish we could somehow balance it, because... it would be awesome to, when you order coffee machine, the roasting machine, you'll right away get it. But it's the beauty of it, you know, that we are producing it in hand, one by one. All 100 parts of one piece of sample roaster is produced here in Oslo, which is great. It's handmade. It has that personal touch. So, yeah. We are growing
fast.
And
you're traveling around the world and you're showing it off. Obviously,
yes.
You're just in Portland. I just saw that you guys did New York. So you're taking it around to places. So I see it rising, especially if people get the demo that I got and shows off this product, which is just amazing.
And once you try it, you want to have it.
Because, of course I want to have it. But, you know, I don't have expensive gadgets at the house, so I guess I'll just have to... Let the world work itself out, and maybe I'll get one down the road. MyDearCoffee.com is going to come soon. Yeah, what's your plan with your blog?
Well, the plan is to have the online courses there. That's my plan, because since I closed down my coffee school, I felt like I still want to teach people. So that will be it. MyDear.coffee. And just enjoy a cup of coffee every morning and share it with the world, so they know what's good to drink and how to make it easy and simple and just enjoy it.
Where can people find you online? Instagram, Facebook, all those things.
Instagram, yeah, Instagram is, I think, the best way to meet and hang around. I love to engage with people, so just...
Can they search My Dear Coffee to find you?
Or yeah, My Dear Coffee or Veronica underscore G-A-L-O-V-A, Galova underscore Vesela. That's me.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, it's been a great time here in Oslo. Thanks for the tour of Roast. The other day, it was amazing. The product is awesome. I recommend anybody listening to check it out. When they can check that out online, where? What's the website?
The website is roastcoffee.com or on Instagram,
roastcoffee. And how do they spell roast, which is spelled a little different?
R-O-E-S-T.
Roast.
Yeah, roastcoffee.com.
Roastcoffee.com. Be sure to check it out, friends. Try to get over to Oslo and have some of the coffee over here, too. Some of the best coffee in the world is in Scandinavia and in this town. Any parting words for our listeners before we let you get out of here and get back out to the burbs to those beautiful fjords?
Just enjoy the coffee the way it is. The best coffee you drink is the coffee. I mean, the best coffee you like is the coffee that you drink every day. Just enjoy it. Oh, my goodness. I don't know how to say it better, you know.
And the difference between ninth and first is how you wake up.
Exactly. Wake up good and have a good coffee with that.
It really sets the day. Thanks, Veronica, for your time. Thanks for being the guest on the Brent Nunn Tour podcast.
Thanks
for your time. Travel well. Bye.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of five podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jagged Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundel from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.
What happens when we play outside? We become healthier, both mentally and physically. We become more creative and more focused. We connect with nature, each other, and ourselves. Let's Take This Outside, a new podcast hosted by me, Marianne Iveson, an aspiring outdoor athlete and nature lover. I speak to athletes, outdoor professionals, and scientists about their connection to nature, how it affects their performance and everyday life. Let's Take This Outside, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, and at letstakethisoutside.ca.